You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
What's his title? The guy in charge, Dr. Ashley Brimson.
The Director General of Health.
Yeah.
The Wire. The astrophysics researchers from the University of Auckland have recently released a report into the origins of binary neutron star mergers, colloquially dubbed cosmic factories. The team was led by Dr. Heloise Stevens, with inner teams led by Jen Eldridge, looking at how the events take place and what causes them. The scientists used a captured star merger that we viewed back in 2017 and analysed its beginnings before taking a look at how they produce elements like gold, silver and uranium. I had a chat with Jen Eldridge about their research and their findings.
Well, one of the things to realise is that most stars aren't like our sun. They're not single stars on their own. They're two stars that orbit around each other. And, you know, when you have two massive stars, they end up dying. And when stars die, they leave a stellar remnant, which in this case for these stars was neutron stars, which are like one huge bunch of these fundamental particles called neutrons. And as these things spiral in together, because they're so massive, they warp space-time and they spiral in faster and faster and then smash into each other. And they throw out all these big blobs of neutrons that then become these very large elements such as gold, silver, platinum, and even some uranium and other radioactive elements. And so they're producing all these really heavy elements that we actually need in technology around us. I mean, many of the elements in the computer screens everyone's probably staring at right now, listening to this, come from these cosmic factories making all these heavy elements.
What effects does this have on the surrounding area?
Well, if you was a person standing nearby, it would be a very, very bad situation because it produces all these highly radioactive elements and they're actually decaying down at the same time. It's a hideously horrid environment of gamma ray radiation. So if you were a person, you would die. But, you know, you can see that there's this massive input of energy and material. And, of course, this is just in one tiny part of a galaxy and it takes millions of years for that material to then go out into the next generation of stars. So once these events have produced all these elements, they actually pollute the next generations of stars. And when we look back through the history of the universe, we can trace how events like this have built up the amount of gold and silver and other elements. But of course, you know, this is just one cosmic factory, and actually different types of stars produce different types of elements. And so we can even trace how the different cosmic factories making elements have made them at different rates. And so very early in the universe, it was very oxygen-rich because that produced very quickly. And it's probably only in the last few billion years that gold, silver, and these other heavy elements have actually become much more common than they used to be.
Your research has been focused on the origins of these cosmic factories. Could you briefly detail what you've discovered most recently?
Yeah, so this paper we had recently, and we were looking at the first observed binary neutron star merger, and even though we've seen other things that probably were, this is the first time we knew it was two of these neutron stars smashing together, because we detected the merger in this new field of astronomy called gravitational wave astronomy, where we literally detect space-time itself oscillating backwards and forwards. Because these things are so massive and move so fast, they send ripples through space-time. So we detected it through just seeing space itself vibrating. And then we was able to follow up and see that there was actually light coming from these objects, and so was able to actually therefore track it down, which is all great, which means that we could also work out where this event happened. And it was in a distant galaxy about 120 million light years away, and we was able to study that galaxy. And everyone got really excited when they discovered this in 2017, but the problem was, when they analyzed that galaxy, they assumed every single star in it was a single star. The problem is, we'd seen two stars in a binary merge, and so there must be other binaries in that. And so what we were able to do in the first time, because no one's been able to do this before, is we've made a model of that galaxy and model it and understand it, assuming that, you know, there's single stars, but also binary stars like the one that merged. And we actually get a different answer for when most of the stars formed. They're actually a lot older than what the previous earlier studies had suggested, because the previous earlier studies suggested maybe the stars are only like a few billion years old, but we found they're actually mostly much older, between 8 to 10 billion years old. So actually some of the earliest stars are formed earliest in our universe. And once we've got that information, we can then go and look in all our models to actually see, okay, so if these stars were formed 10 billion years ago, what was their life way that led to them forming today? And when you do that, again, because we've got a different age, we found that the pathways are very, very different to what other people have suggested. And actually the big mystery that our work has kind of indicated now is everyone else is thinking it takes a very short time from when the stars are born to when they have these mergers. And now we're suggesting actually it's much more likely that they take a much longer time to evolve, which throws up all sorts of questions. It says maybe that the universe has only recently become rich in gold and silver and didn't have a lot of those kind of elements very early in the universe. But that's the way with science. You always end up with more questions than you start out with when you're looking at it.
What could the consequences of that discovery be? What could the consequences of there being more gold and silver and heavy elements in the universe entail?
It's one of those stories of just trying to work out our own origins. And when we actually look at our planet and look at other planets recently forming, it's like, are we thinking that planets are all the same? And what this kind of suggests is that, you know, exactly when planets formed, because I mean our planets formed about 4.5 billion years ago, which is kind of in this endpoint. So maybe planets, if they're forming much more recently, are going to be much more gold rich than those that formed the very first planets, probably had very little of any of these kind of materials, because that change in the pathway is so different. But it also means if that is true, then the way stars in themselves evolve is going to be very different, because when they finally both die, the stars have to be much further apart, because actually these gravitational waves that I mentioned are what drives them spiraling in together. And, you know, if they're further apart, it takes longer for them to shrink down. If they're born very close together, then it takes a shorter time for them to spiral in together. So in some ways, we're also measuring that how close are these two neutron stars produced when they're first born. And that really constrains how stars evolve over their lifetime. So it's always just trying to pick together all these different things and trying to understand really how everything works, but also at the same time the origins of all the elements around us on Earth.
What has your involvement in this process been like?
This entire project came about from a Royal Society of New Zealand Marsden grant that I put in all the way back, I think, in 2018. And so because we'd actually realised that everyone else had looked at this galaxy and hadn't used binary models to try and understand that galaxy, and we had those binary models, but we didn't have the technique of studying galaxies to work out what their history was. And so that's why we recruited Heloise, who came in and rewrote all this beautiful code to try and understand the galaxy using our models. And then she actually went further, because then she realized, well, hang on, from the gravitational waves themselves, not only do we know about the galaxy, we also know quite a lot about the mass of those two neutron stars. And so then she able to put all this stuff together, and of course, you know, we need to try and then understand what that means in terms of all the rest of what we know about stars, which I was able to contribute. And so you get this really wonderful paper where we're starting to try and bring everything together, do something really novel for the first time. And the exciting thing is, what else can we do with this now? Because we've got a technique to understand the galaxies where things happen, and so we can apply this technique to many, many other things.
What are your next steps of research on this topic likely to look like?
Well, it depends on us being lucky. Because as I said, we've now got this mechanism. So if we see any event, it could be a binary neutron star merger or some type of stellar explosion, we can understand the history of the galaxy where that happened. What's going to be happening in this year is the gravitational wave observatories, which are run by the LIGO Virgo Kangra collaboration, are going to be studying the gravitational waves and switch their observatories back on, because they're extremely complicated pieces of equipment where you've got lasers shining down arms that are about 4 kilometers long. You've got to have vacuums in those arms, and so they're hideously complicated, amazing pieces of technology, but they're going to have an observing run for a year. And so they're going to hopefully find more of these events, which means we won't just be relying on one of the binary neutron star mergers to understand what these events do. It will actually have a population, hopefully, fingers crossed, depending on how many they find. And so we'll find out, like, was this just the one really odd one, and many of the others are actually in much younger galaxies? Or is, like, all the binary neutron star mergers we see coming from much older galaxies? But then it's also fitting into all the other observations that we've got, just to try and understand everything in one big picture, which is difficult, but also fun.
That was Professor Jen Eldred from the University of Auckland chatting about her research into binary neutron star mergers.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.